So this psalm addresses that. And what David, who wrote this psalm, actually he didn't write it, but one of his attendants did. Because of that, the author to the psalm writing for God says, I will not be downcast because of my own weakness or because of circumstances. And that those are the two things that make us downcast. The reason we're downcast or depressed or sad in life is because we hear a bad report out there or because of our own weakness in here. So those are the two things that can distract you. And the psalmist is telling us something, is never look at circumstances and never look at yourself. Put your eyes on the Lord. So if you were going through a hard situation, your temptation would be to look at it and to think, you know, I want to be responsible, so I want to examine what's wrong. I want to see what's wrong. But and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't dwell on that. And or you might look at yourself and say, I know why this is happening, because I'm being punished because of something I didn't do or something I did do. And so the Bible is very clear on that. Even if that were true, that you were being punished, and even if the bad guys were doing something out there and circumstances were conspiring against you, do not focus on either of those. Don't focus on those, but put your eyes on the Lord. So that's what this psalm is about. It's neither your own feebleness nor the enmity of your enemy against you that make any difference. It doesn't matter. What matters is your own beholding the Lord, looking at the Lord, because he's the one that can not only forgive you but deliver you. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O Lord. So if you've ever seen a deer thirsty at the end of the day when the sun is setting and so on, they will go and they'll try to find a water hole, and hopefully one that's somewhat calm, and put their feet in it maybe or whatever, and then take a drink. And the deer may have been running and so on, but it's now refreshing itself. And so the Bible says, exactly the same way as a deer will refresh itself in the water brooks, so my soul, myself. Now, this is not your spirit. This is not who you are. This is just yourself, your personality. Your personality needs salvation too, not just your spirit. But so my soul pants for thee, O Lord. In other words, just as a deer is so thirsty, wants to put that water in. How many know that when it's real hot out or when you're just tired, you just want a drink that refreshes you? So as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee, O God. So this is not something that you have to feel. It's just something you need to know, is that there's a hunger inside of you to know the Lord, and nothing else will satisfy. You can't substitute something else. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. In other words, not for an idol, not for just religion, not for just going to church. But my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In other words, I need to get into God's presence. I don't want to just be a religious person going to church. I need to get into the presence of God. How many have ever felt that in your life? It's like, one of these days, I just got to get with God. Now, of course, he's right there, but you still will postpone it because you're worrying about circumstances or you're in the midst of sin and you're just discouraged. I mean, that when you're discouraged, you don't think of God. You actually think of changing your circumstance or trying to, you know, confess your sin or clean yourself up or something. But you need to just go and get with God. You need to get with God. And I'll tell you, that's the last thing the devil wants you to do, is waste time with God. It seems to us many times, gee, I have so much to do, I just don't have time to waste being with God. But that's actually what your soul is longing for, is get away from people. Get away from this world. Pull away from yourself. Just get alone with God and get quiet. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul thirsts, it pants, it's longing after God. So the soul or yourself or your personality does not need to be bound up in this world, but to be set free from this world. You live in the world, and it's not an evil place. God wants you to be here, and you have a self, but you just need to always hook up with God. My tears have been my meat night and day, all day long, all night long. I've been crying, weeping because of circumstances, because of my own lack of religion or my own lack of, you know, doing what God wants or something. I was doing my own thing. I'm now facing the consequences of what I've done. How many know that when you sin, there are consequences? And let's say you're just facing those. Don't focus on that. Focus on God's love, not on your weakness or the enemy's fury. While they continually say to me, where's your God? I thought you were a Christian. I thought you believed in God. Why are you having all these troubles? Isn't it because you're wicked? Isn't it because the enemy is so powerful that God won't help you or can't help you or isn't going to help you? And that can discourage you because you think, well, gosh, I think I've confessed my sins. I've tried to do everything I can, but God's not coming through. Have you ever noticed that? That sometimes it just seems like, what do I do now? I've prayed, I've called on God, I've confessed, I've yelled, I've gotten quiet, I've read the Bible, you know, what do I need to do? I just can't get rid of the anxiety inside of myself. I'm still depressed, I'm still anxious, I'm still nervous. Does anybody can identify with that? There are just times in our life when we know the answers, we know what's right and so on, but you just haven't gotten with God and gotten quiet. You're still full of noise. It's like, I just can't stop being nervous. I just can't stop. And you're just panting after God and you don't know it. What you need is to spend time with God. I know we don't have time. Yeah, but that's all you have time for, is to spend time with God. Just get quiet before God. But, you know, I can't because, you know, life is going on. I just don't have time to waste with God. That's what God is calling you to do, is just come and spend time with me. And a lot of times we'll put it off, even though we know it's the right answer, we'll just put it off. All right. I'm gonna go to church this Sunday, or I'm gonna go and read my Bible, or I'm gonna spend some time with God. But somehow something comes up, the phone rings, thank God. You know, the phone rings and here I'm off, you know, hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, well, things aren't going that well. And I'm not spending time with God, I'm just griping. Or I'm just distracting myself. Or a better idea, go to the refrigerator. That's a better idea. Is, you know, right now what would feel good is to eat something. You know, I know that'll help. And so we will try all kinds of things rather than do the one thing that our soul is panting after, which is to spend time with God. Maybe I have guilt, you know, like, I've asked him for stuff before, and I've probably used up my chips, and I shouldn't waste his time with this little thing. And God is just wanting you to spend time with him. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O Lord. Your self, your soul, your personality is panting after God. And so, whether you know it or not, all the troubles in the world don't have anything to do with your getting to know the Lord. All the fury out there and the fury within is meaningless. What God wants to do is just spend time with you. My tears have been my meat day and night. I've been worried. I've been crying. I've been calling out to God. I've been sighing. God, what's going on? What's going on? And others are looking at me saying, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were one of those God people, you know, always boasting and bragging on God. Look at you. You're pathetic. And even if other people don't say it, I'm thinking that myself. I'm thinking, God, I hope nobody sees me right now because I'm not looking like a great, powerful Christian. And so constantly I can hear the world saying, and I can hear myself saying, and the devil saying, and everybody saying, where's your God? Where's your God? Huh? Where's your God? And he's like, I don't know. I guess he's gone. I guess I don't want to seek him that hard. I guess, you know, and you can make up all kinds of reasons and excuses, but you still need to seek God. And the enemy is not going to help you out on this one. Satan, could you please let up? You know, you won't do it. Where is your God? I thought God was with you. Why is your health down? Why is your finances low? Why are your relationships falling apart? You know, where's your God? I thought you were a Christian. When I remember these things, the contradiction, when I remember these things that I'm seeking after God and yet he doesn't seem to be there, or I don't seem to be able to contact him, then I pour out my soul, myself. I just pour it out. Okay, God, I don't even know what to say or how to pray. I'm just going to pour out my soul. I'm just going to pour it out. All right, here it is. I'm mad at you, I guess. Maybe you're mad at me. Maybe, you know, whatever. And you just pour out your soul, and you don't have any rhyme or reason. You just come before God, and I don't know where I am right now. I'm just nowhere. And you just pour out your soul. For I had gone with the multitude. I remember the good days. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them into the house of God. I remember when, you know, things were going well. With the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holiday. So what he's saying is, you know, I remember when a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, or a few years ago, I used to be a Christian too. I used to be happy. But things lately have just been going downhill. I'm not sure how to recapture it. I don't know what the problem is. I used to be, yeah, praise the Lord and all that, but I used to do that too and so on. I remember the good old days. But right now, they're the bad old days. And, you know, I'm just not. It's hard not to get discouraged. It's hard not to get discouraged. It's hard to keep up your encouragement. Hey, remember the old days? And you have like a scrapbook of you smiling, you know. Remember the old days? Let's look at that scrapbook again. Yeah, those were good days. But, you know, it's not lately. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. You know, my soul is just looking for God. And not for all the outward stuff. God, you know, if you just give me a job, I'd have a little hope there. But God, if you just would, you know, restore my marriage. God, if you just fix my health. You know, I'm sick these days, and I know I've not been eating right, and I should have slept more, and blah, blah, blah. And you can make up all that stuff, but the truth is, you're not looking at God. God, if you could only change my husband. You know, it wouldn't take that much. Maybe just a truck. Just change him. Could you change him? You know, because I don't know. I just things are getting so bad. They're just getting so bad. And so people easily get discouraged. Now, this was written, you know, 3,000 years ago. But it's still applicable today. And here's what the psalm writer says. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Did you ever say that to yourself? Why are you depressed? Aren't you a Christian? Why are you cast down? What is wrong with you? Everyone's saying, where's your God? Where's your God? I ask myself that question. Why are you depressed? Why do you have to have lithium? You know, why are you, you know, take an Ativan. You know, why is it that you are so, I thought you were a Christian. You're saying this to yourself. Why are you my soul? I'm talking to myself. Jim, get a hold of yourself. Why are you depressed? Why are you cast down? Why don't you rejoice? I remember those old days, but it's hard to keep that phony stuff up. I mean, I was more genuine in those days, but I was also naive, and certain things have happened since then. So it's hard for me to laugh anymore. And I hate to call Pastor Jim because he's giggly all the time, and Jesus, and so on and so forth, and he's in another world. You know, he's not a real person. I wish we had, you know, I wish there was someone like me, because I don't see how I'm going to get out of this. I don't see how I'm going to be excited. I can't be excited like he is. He doesn't care what it looks like or what's going on. I want to be like that, but I don't think I'm ready to die. I guess I have too much sin in my life. I guess I'm too cold. Maybe I started out good, but then I turned off. You know, I haven't been reading my Bible, watching too much TV, and so on and so on. And you can get so discouraged by the world. You can just, if you watch television, I don't know if any of you watch television, but it can discourage you. I mean, there's not a lot of good news on there. And most of the happier stuff is all shallow and wicked. I mean, it's kind of hard to be built up from that. And churches are full of hypocrites. And so where do you go? Maybe Dr. Phil will help you. I don't know. And so you've got to find something that'll build you up. Maybe a deliverance. You know, you got to try something that will perk you up. And Pastor Jim is into discipleship and holiness right now, rather than the old stuff about God's love. And, you know, if he'd get back onto something, that would be helpful. But he's not. And so you can get discouraged along the way. Amen? You can get discouraged because, you know, it just seems like the old props aren't there. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul is not seeking for something out there to change or something in here to change. You don't need change. You don't need to do it, and you don't need something else to do it. You just need to get with God. You just need to spend time, because your soul is panting not after a better world or a better you. Your soul is panting for God, who doesn't get better. He's already good. You see what I'm saying? Put your eyes on the Lord, not on yourself or others. Don't care about the devil. Oh, you don't know, the devil is really doing a job on our family. Don't care about the devil. Well, you know, I'm not the Christian I was going to be and thought I was going to be, but, you know, and you can don't care about yourself, how you're doing. Well, I'm getting a C- these days. Who cares what grade you're getting? Don't worry about how you're growing or not growing. Don't worry about how the world is or isn't. Don't worry about the devil and the flesh and the, you know, all that. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm trying to encourage you today. I'm not trying to. I'm encouraging you. Don't, you know what your soul wants? It isn't like, oh, God, help my unbelief. Forget all that. Just get with God. Stop being psychological. Stop being behavioral. Stop being external out there or internal in here. Just get with God. Your soul is panting to know the living God. And I know that it seems so irrelevant when you're sick. God seems irrelevant. Well, I prayed at first and nothing happened. But see, he seems irrelevant, you know, because he wasn't as good as a pill. So now I'm going to try the pill route. And I'm going to try this and that and so on and so forth. You can get so discouraged, but you know all you're after? I'm just telling you, the way God made you, your soul is panting after God. You just need to spend time with God. Pour out your soul. Just remember these things, that when things aren't perfect, that wasn't God's intent. I'm going to say that again. When things aren't perfect, it wasn't God's intent. He never intended for you to live a second-rate life. He wants you to have full abundance, and the fact that you don't see it shouldn't be a trouble to you. I know it's troubling you, but don't let it. So here's God. God he's holding something up. Okay? He's holding something up. And this thing that he's holding up is 1, 2, and 3. This is the holiness of God by which he measures the whole earth. It's the wisdom by which he created the world. You know, God created the world out of this little cube that he has. And everything in the world starts with 1, goes to 2, and then goes on to 3. That is what your soul is longing after. So God is pointing to us, and he's saying, you know, put all your hope in the Lord. Don't put your hope in yourself. Measure up to this. Here's the holiness of God by which he hates your sin. Here's the holiness of God by which he forgives your sin. Here's the holiness of God by which he delivers you and sets you free. So get a hold of that. And so here's the judgments of God. They're called Mishpatim. Mishpatim. I could write it in Hebrew, but it doesn't matter. Here's the Hebrew. Mishpatim. Okay? Mishpatim. Now, God's judgments are actually good for you. That's number one. That's number one, is all of his judgments. You need the judgments of God. But if you focus on those too much, you'll get depressed. So then you need his chesed, his loving kindness, his mercy, his bowels of mercy toward you to forgive you. And then you need his power or his glory, his Shekinah glory. You need that to set you free and to strengthen you so that he actually gives you hope that everything bad is temporal. So that God has set up the world for you to win. So you are, you know, as you're sitting there and calling out to God, you need to realize that God is on your side. He's wanting to. So just get your eyes on the Lord. Don't put your eyes on yourself. Just look up to God. All of His judgments, of course, you know, there's sin in your life. But He's also got judgments against the enemy, and His judgments are only to chasten you. They're not to kill you or hurt you. They're just a spanking. The spankings don't hurt you. They hurt your bottom, but they don't hurt you. So He's just chastening you, and so the judgments don't hurt you, because His mercy toward you, His love toward you, His kindness toward you is to forgive you of all your sins, no matter what. And then His power working in you so that you will follow Him and not keep going your own way. When you go your own way, He has to chasten you. Then He'll forgive you, and then He'll help you. So in every way, God is always doing these three things. 1, 2, and 3. So He's continually and constantly using everything in heaven to help you. Now, how many know that the judgments of God are actually a blessing? The Bible says that when His judgments are in the earth, the world learns righteousness. So we need His judgments. How many know we're being judged? We're being judged. You're being judged continually. But it's not to punish you. It's only to bless you. The reason we spank our children is because we love them. If you let children just, you know, do what they wish, it's not good for them. I mean, no, it's good to discipline them. It's good to say no to them and to have standards. So God has a holy standard. But His standard is not to hurt the child. It's actually to bless the child. Do you all welcome God's chastening, the little troubles that go on in your life? How many know that troubles are not permanent? They're temporal. It's God's pleasure to go to 3, not to stop at 1 or even 2. It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He does not want you, just like in the world to come, it's all hell here, and then in the world to come, it's nice. No, He wants you to have blessing here, now. But He has to chasten you so that you don't do all the silly things that you're doing and the wrong things, so that He can give you the blessing today, now. In other words, grow up as quick as you can. So spankings are necessary to grow you up. How many realize that's true in child raising, and it's also true in your life? Whenever troubles come on you, there's no question that God wants them to go away. But they also can serve a good purpose to draw you close to the Lord. My soul pants after thee, O Lord. You know, in other words, I'm crying night and day because of my own sins or because of the sins of others or some problems or whatever. But it's not eternal. That's just temporal. Any problem in this world is only to bless you. All things work together for your good. Everything, even the bad stuff, works together for your good. If you could get a hold of this, you'd be set free forever. So I want to encourage you today that God, how many know God could remove all your problems? He could just do it just like that. But it wouldn't be good for you. Just to have no diseases is not heaven. Just to have, you know, a wonderful marriage is not heaven. Just to have a good pastor is not heaven. What else? Wealth. You know, just to have a lot of wealth, that's not heaven. People can have all of that, and still their soul is panting after something. Your real treasure is not on this world. It's not here. It's something more. It's to seek the Lord who giveth you health and wealth and friends and relationship and all good things in this world as well as the world to come. Isn't that powerful? You have a good God. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. But don't be discouraged when problems come because of your own sin or because of the sin of others. When troubles come, rejoice. Come on. You can rejoice because that trouble is not permanent. That's just a chastening from the Lord. If it weren't serving a good purpose, He wouldn't let it happen. All the troubles that come to you, all of them, have been pre-examined by God, pre-approved. Yes, that's all right. Yes, that won't hurt her. Yes, that will be a blessing for him. But what you have to do when you get into that trouble is not just let it happen, but seek the Lord. Don't seek to get rid of the problem. Seek the Lord. It's kind of like those troubles remind you that you need a God. If you could handle all your troubles, you wouldn't need God. If you could overcome every trouble in your life, you wouldn't need God. But I guarantee you, there's no one in this building, and there's no one anywhere, that doesn't have at least a problem in relationships, or in their physical health, or in their finances. Everybody's got one of those. How many have relational problems? How many have health problems? How many have financial problems? See? Now, how many have none of the above? How many are liars? You know, it's good. No. It's impossible to go through this world without having problems. In the world, you have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So this is not, please, this is not tricky or anything. It's just the truth. It'll set you free. It's when you're facing a problem, as the psalmist did, he just said, you know, I know that what I really need is not to look at my problems. I really need to look at God. I need to get with God. What I really need is not to solve anything. It's just to get with God and to rejoice. That's what my soul, not my spirit. My spirit's already saved. My spirit's okay. My soul, though, needs to spend time with God. It hungers, it thirsts after God, just like the deer is panting for the water. So my soul is panting after thee, O God. Why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? What's wrong, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? You know, when you're in trouble because of your own sins or because of the enemies around you, you will actually get stressed out. You'll get physically stressed where you can't function for a while because you're so worried about everything. So what he's saying here is, soul, self, me, why are you distressed? Why are you shaken? Why are you nervous? Why are you not laughing? Why are you not just going to sleep at night happy, content? Why are you worrying all the time? Why are you anxious? Why? Because your soul is seeking after God. Your soul, that's the only solution, is go after God. Just spend time with the Lord. Here's what he says. Why are you cast down, verse 5, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? You know, why are you stressed out? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You see, when your troubles are upon you, don't solve them. I want you just to say that. I will not solve my problems. I will seek God. I'm not seeking God to solve my problems. I'm not just going to use God. God, I got to use you right now. I got some problems and I can't solve them, so could you solve them for me? That's not why you're seeking God. You're seeking God because it isn't the problem that's the problem. It's that you haven't been seeking God. That's all. You're not using God to solve your problem. The problem is driving you to God. Because your real problem was not knowing that you didn't have any. That's your problem. You don't have a problem. If you're in Christ, you're not in trouble. You don't have any. So seek him. You obviously don't know him. The problem is throwing you because you don't know what kind of powerful God and wonderful God. His judgments are not to hurt you. His mercy is totally on your side. And his power and his glory and his majesty are all to give you hope. Everything that's happening to you is good for you. Al-Qaeda, you know, I don't care what it is that you're worried about or focused on. It's nothing. It's nothing. God is actually seeking just to bless you, but you don't believe that and you think that's a nothing. That's not a nothing. To know who God is everything. He is bigger and greater than you know. Just get to the water spout. You know, get to the place where your soul finds your rest in him. I tell you, the soul, your soul was made by God to rest in him, to laugh in him, to rejoice in him, to take pleasure in him. That's all. That's what you're made for. Not to use religion on Sunday morning as kind of like a little break from your normal rough world. actually, this is the center of your life. It's not just a kind of a way to patch up all the bad things that happened all during the week. You know, it's kind of like a gas station where you come in and you fill up so you can make it for the next week. That's not church. You're not coming here to get gas to endure for the week. Yeah, Pastor, it's Tuesday and I'm already run out. You know, I better go to Bible study every day. No. You don't come here to get filled up so you can make it through the week. Seeking God has nothing to do with church. Seeking God is where your soul, yourself, longs to know the living God. Just spend time with Him. Then, I don't care what your week is like, it'll be victorious. You are totally adequate to anything that comes your way. Say it. I am adequate. You are more than sufficient. You are more than a conqueror. There's nothing can throw you. I don't care how big the problem is. Because Christ is in you and He's for you and He's with you, you can conquer it. But you get discouraged sometimes. Oh, I said that, but I didn't mean it. I'm defeated. I'm just getting down. I've been down for a week now. I think I'm gonna go another month on this. You know, it's fall time, it's cold season, probably get a sneeze and so on. You know, you're wearing yourself down. What you need is the living God. You need to build yourself up. You need to immunize yourself against trouble. Your God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? No weapon fashioned against you can prevail. There's no way. Anything negative to you, it's not going to last. It's just a temporary thing. It's just the mishpatim of God, the judgments of God. That's okay. I don't care whether it's for your sins or because the world is furious and evil and bad. It doesn't matter why it is. Seek God. Just seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. How many know that God does not want you sick and poor and beaten down and so on? But that's not why you seek Him, to get all that. That's just simply a free gift. You know, don't seek Him so that you can get that. It's, God, I'm going to give you an hour and a half here because I'm sick right now and it's cheaper than pills. You know, that's not why you do it. I'm going to praise you for about an hour here and I hope I get over my sniffle. That's not why you seek God. You're not seeking Him to get something. You're seeking Him because you already have everything. And you just need to get into the Lord's holiness and His mercy and His power. And realize there's nothing too good for you. There's nothing too good for you. There's nothing too good. You don't have to get it in heaven. You can have it now. You can have right now all the blessings that you need. Now, you don't need more. You don't need everything in heaven right now. All you need is that which you need right now. What I'm trying to say is there's some things He's keeping in heaven for you that you can't get right now. You're not going to see Him face to face here. There's just some things that are kept for the future. But you can have everything that you need here now. For example, if you die, you cannot praise God. So don't die. I mean, don't die. Don't die until your hour is up, because you've got enough from God, promise. You got enough to stay alive until it's over. And nobody knows that day or hour, only God does. But so what? Live to the hilt. Live to the fullest until you get to that moment. Let's say you die right after church. It's okay. Enjoy this last message. You know, just enjoy it. I mean, don't enjoy it partly like Pastor said four nothings, but he said two good things, and I'll go with those. No, just stop being so smart. Just seek God. Seek God. I don't have anything to say except seek God. God is your hope. He's your salvation. He's your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your all in all. Everything you've ever wanted or needed. I am not able to destroy your faith, nor am I able to give it to you. I don't have any power. I can just tell you, this is the truth. This is good. Oh my God, my soul is cast down. This is a depressed person. And before you take a pill or, you know, lose weight or, you know, call up the pastor or whatever else, don't solve this problem. My soul is cast down. The soul needs God, not a pill or a pastor. It doesn't need something out there or in here. It just needs God. Therefore, I will remember you, O Lord, from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mitzar. What's he saying? He's saying, remember the land of Jordan? That's how they got into the promised land. He's just saying, remember all the good things I've done for you in your life. Deep calls to deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. In other words, the depth of heaven and the depth of earth need to come together. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. When you're in trouble, it's just like going under the water. It's just like, oh God, I'm so overwhelmed right now, I don't even know what to do. That's great. What to do is seek God. Don't seek to solve your problem. Go ahead and jump into the water. Get immersed. Deep calling unto deep. In other words, don't solve it by a pill. That's superficial. Don't just call a friend to encourage you. Superficial. Watch a TV show for a few hours. Ah, I feel a lot better right now. It was Three Stooges, and they made me laugh, and I felt a lot better. Don't solve your problems. Seek after God. I'm just telling you something that maybe you'll remember this someday, is do not solve problems. Seek God. Turn your back on your problems. When you have big problems, laugh at them. Ha! Just go like that. Ha! That's it? Ha! You know, now that's the way to do it. And I don't mean think about it. I mean do it. Say like I just said, look like an idiot, but say it. Do it in your closet so nobody can hear you. Huh? You know, and then, you know, if you don't laugh at the devil, he'll scare you. Just laugh at him. Ha! What are friends? I don't need them. What's health? I don't need it. What's food? What's, you know, don't pay attention to everything. Seek after God. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after God. That is what your soul. Now again, I told you, this is not your body. It's not your spirit. This is your inner man, the soul. It's seeking after God, seeking Him. God, show me your greatness. Show me this cube. Show me your love. Show me your mercy. Show me your power. Show me your judgment. Show me anything. Just show me yourself. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness. Now that's number two up there on a little cube. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. So in the daytime, when you need it and you're feeling guilty about something or other, the Lord will just be your loving kindness. He'll say, I don't feel guilty. I'll take care of that. I love you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you haven't done. I love you. And in the night, His song shall be with me. How many know that when you go to bed at night, the Lord is singing over you? And you have tuned into another radio station called Worry and you know, Stay Awake All Night Insomnia Station. And you're da-da-da-da-da. And the Lord is singing, but you can't hear Him because you got so many worries, you can't hear the Lord singing over you at night. And He'll sing like this. Jim, I love you. You know, and it's a beautiful song, and He's just a lullaby, lullaby, la-da-da-da. You know, and He's singing over you, but you are so worried you can't hear it. Quiet, I'm trying to listen to the worry station here. And you are troubled by worries rather than by the fact that the Lord loves you. Imagine God taking time out of His busy heaven schedule and just singing over your bed at night. Every night He comes to your bedroom, and I don't know where He is in the daytime. I guess He's in China, and then He's over here at night. And so He's constantly singing over every person. I don't know how He does it, how He projects His voice somehow, but He goes into everybody's room. And He's able to sing over you so that you're happy all night long and go to bed. How many know God doesn't slumber? He never sleeps. You're the one that sleeps, but God doesn't because He has to sing all the time. He's a big singer. He's constantly singing, and we are filling our heads. I know the people today, you know, they're always wearing those phone head things and whatnot. But that is not God janging like that. You know, God is giving you pleasant sleep so that you rest and relax. So every night when you go to bed, God's right there, and He's tuning up. La, 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 la. You know, and He's tuning up to sing a love song over you every night. Isn't that powerful? So in the daytime, His chesed, His loving kindness, the bowels of His mercy are going out to you because you're His son, you're His child, You're his beloved. You're his daughter. You're the one that he loves. And he's constantly, during the daytime, telling of his mercy, and all night long, singing, telling you, I love you. And he'll never change his mind. It's not like God, you know, is up and down. Well, after what you did today, no song for you. I'll give you a jang jang song. You know, he's not going to do that. He's going to give you a pleasant song because he loves you. Amen? I mean, no, it's neat to go to bed at night and fall asleep. It is awful when you cannot go to sleep. But I have a solution for you. Read the Bible. If you can't sleep at night, read the Bible. It makes the devil mad, and he'll put you to sleep. I'm telling you. You know, just, I have tried that. I'm telling you, that works every time. I love it when insomnia comes, because that's time to, okay, I'll go read the Bible. All right, I'll put you to sleep. And so, but if he can get you to worry, see, then he has you. Because then you won't be listening to the Lord's beautiful song in the night. I will say, verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock. Why do you need a rock? A rock in the Bible, it always means this rock right here. This is the rock. This is God. This rock that he's holding is himself. This is God's judgment. This is his mercy. This is his power. This rock is the refuge for me. Number two is the refuge. Number one is his fire going out against all my wickedness and the wickedness of others. Number two is his mercy toward me so that I don't perish under his wickedness. And number three is his power to deliver me, to set me free in this world and in the next. All my hope can never be disappointed because of two. Number one would take away my hope. Number two restores it. It's my refuge, my rock. And number three is the proof in this world and in the next that God will give you hope in any situation. I don't care what it is, how bad it is, God will give you hope so that you can laugh, so that you can rejoice. He does not want you ever being depressed. I'm going to say it again. There's not. By the way, if you are depressed, it's okay. But I'm just going to tell you something. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to keep it. If you're depressed, it's okay. If you get depressed, I used to be scared, paralyzed, scared. I never knew when it was going to come. It'd be like, I'd be okay, and I'd be thinking, I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, I'd drop down into a pit. And I would be there for who knows how long, maybe minutes, maybe months. And I never knew how I got out, and all of a sudden I'd be out again. And I'd be thinking, what was wrong with me for the last month? Why was I in a pit? Life isn't all that bad. After eating that hamburger, I feel a lot better. You know, and I never knew how I got out or how I got in. I don't know if anybody else is here like that. But I used to just kind of walk along, and I knew pretty soon I'll probably fall into a pit, but right now, I feel okay. I feel pretty optimistic, you know. And that Three Stooges program, that was good. And you know, I don't know why I was happy sometimes and then miserable the rest of the time when I was happy. I couldn't imagine being miserable. When I was miserable, I couldn't imagine being happy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it just would kind of get me, and I had no control over it. I had no control when I went down into it, and I'd just be scared. I'd be paralyzed. I couldn't move. Now, nobody in the world knew that I did that. Nobody. I could fake it, even when I was in the pit, I could fake it so that nobody knew I was in the pit. I mean, there's little things you can come up with, food and people and, you know, stuff, little games you can play to make people think you're okay when you're not. But I tell you, when I would get alone with myself, I would know it. Man, you are not happy. You are not happy at all. And you call yourself a Christian. Yeah. But, you know, right now I'm not. And I could tell you real stories of how I thought, I'll never get out of that. I'll never be able to figure out why I'm optimistic, confident, and the belle of the ball. You know, I just, you know, you look at me, that guy is so happy. He's so optimistic. But I was lying. I never knew when I was going to fall into one of those pits and never know how soon I'd get out or not. It was like somebody else had the ticket to that or the key to that. But that has never happened again. One day the devil did that, and the Lord showed me what it was, and it was like, whoa, I'll just set free forever. And I knew I'll never be afraid again. Never. I'm talking psychologically. It will never be able to hold me. You can get me afraid, but I know exactly what to do to get out. I now have a little ladder. I just climb right out, or little spongy things on my shoes or something, whatever, I can get right out of those. And so I'm okay now, go from pit to pit. It's nothing. Hallelujah. Ha! You know, and I'm okay with it now. But there was a time when I didn't know how to do that. I just want you to know God's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Stop going to bed at night worried, going to the fridge all the time, calling the pastor, eating pills, being with people. Stop it. It's not what God wants. Your soul, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul, myself. You know, you don't even know this. I didn't know it. I was looking for God, but I didn't know it. I didn't know if I wanted to be with God. I thought he'd take away some of my fun. I knew he would. I knew that if I got with God, he'd probably point out a few things that I already had a pretty good hint on that weren't right. Do you all know what I'm saying? I mean, there were certain things in my life that I knew were compromised. They were carnal. They weren't right. And I didn't want to give them up. They were not dung to me. They were like gold. Like, just in case God doesn't come through, at least I have this one sin I can always use. Do you all have one of those? Self-pity, fear, anger, you know, whatever it is. You got one sin that you keep. You'll give up the others, but there's one sin I got to keep just in case things really go bad. I may need it. And I may need to punish God, too, for that sin. You'll know I'm mad when I do that one. I can pay him back. All right, God, that's because I fasted the other day. You didn't come through, so I'm going to do this for a week. Take that. Has anybody ever done that? Tooth people. Come on, don't you ever pay God back with those little sins that you hold? Yes, three people, thank you. Four people. Yes, okay, five, thank you. I know you have a little sin that you are not willing to give up because you don't want to get close to God because he'll take that sin away. You know, it's a little self-pity sin. You ever have one of those? It's like, Lord, you know, right now, I don't even want you to solve this problem. I want to feel mad and sad. And I'm going to do it for at least 2 days. And I want my family to see it. I want people to know I'm ticked off, mad. You're not that good. And I know that's the wrong thing, but still, we do it. And so what God is saying, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Seek after me. And we're going, no, no, no. You'll take away my self-pity parties. No, I'm not going to give you that. When you are perfect, God, and prove yourself perfect, that's when I'll do it. God says, I've already done everything. I know, in theory. But in my personal experience, I wanted a lot more than I got. That was your own sin and fault. I don't want to hear that. And so we don't, it's kind of like God is saying, Jim, you do not know yourself. Trust me. What is it that you won't trust in me? Well, I trust you in theory. I just don't trust you in fact. I know you're good, but I don't know. Nobody else trusts you. Why do I have to be the first? Well, you could be the first one on Norma Street. You could be the first one on your block. You know, how many know that God wants you to trust him more than you do? That's what he wants is, Jim, trust me. I will never let my punishment hurt you. I will always let my mercy bless you, and I'll always use my power to make you victorious. Trust me. There's something in me that won't. Does anybody else have one of those? There's just something in me that resists that. I know all that, God. You wrote it in the book. But in real life, come on, get down here in real life with us. I have to hold a little bit of sin. I'm not going to let this one sin go. Do you have one of those, Margaret? Amen. I just a guess. It's just a total guess. It's just a guess. Do you have one? Praise God. I got two. Two good guesses. I don't want to do another one. I don't want to be wrong. Am I right? You got one? Just a small sin you just still keep where you won't trust God. Okay, so God, now God is not mad. God is not mad. In fact, it's humorous to God is, what do you think you're doing? Well, I'm just not trusting you in all areas. I'm just not going to do it. I have my reasons. God says, God, I wish I knew your reasons. But God knows everything. So he knows, I know why you don't trust me. It's because when you were 4, this happened, and you know, when you were 18 and so on. He knows all that stuff of why you've cooked up a little deal against him. But he's telling you, you're wrong. Trust me. I want you to rejoice, relax. I want to bless you. We'll finish the psalm. I'm trying to encourage you today, never be discouraged. Never stay discouraged. If you get discouraged, don't stay discouraged. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Of course, he hasn't. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, look at my life. You could do something and you don't. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they daily say to me, where's your God? Huh? Where's your God? I thought you had a God. And so here's the way the psalmist concludes his psalm. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. That means he is the light of my face and my God. How many know that when something good goes and you got a raise, or your wife finally compliments you, or, you know, something. Your husband comes home on time, you know, something. Why do you light your face up when those things happen rather than all the time? Because of God. See, don't let circumstances be your joy. Let the truth be your joy. Why does my soul pant after God? It's the way he made us. He made it so that your soul was made to seek after God at all times. Don't seek for a good marriage. Don't seek for a good health. Don't seek for a good job. Don't seek for a good anything. You've got everything. Seek first the kingdom. He'll give you everything else. I'm just telling you, take him literally. Say, okay, all right, pastor, I'm going to take him literally right now. I'm going to rejoice from now on. I'm going to be happy from now on. I'm going to let my soul, not my spirit and my body, but my soul, seek after God. Like a deer panting for the water brooks. That's what I'm going to do. And if you do, you will experience it. You'll have a testimony. Hey, I tried it. I trusted God. I'll tell you, it's been wonderful. Nobody's ever trusted God and said, I trusted God and it all, you know, went kaflooey. You could say that, but you're talking about circumstance. When you trust God, I know circumstances won't always line up. But don't worry about it. He has promised to use those circumstances to bless you. Look for the blessing in the circumstance. Let's say you trust God, and then something bad happens, and you wished you hadn't. I wished I had never said I was going to read my Bible every day and trust God. Okay. But just stick with it, because that bad situation is going to turn. Your hope can never, ever, ever be disappointed. When God says it's his pleasure to give you the kingdom, he means it. And he doesn't mean just in heaven. He means now. It's his pleasure. Oh, please, if somebody could, just one person in the church could get a hold of this. If you say to God, God, I know you want to give me everything right now, I'll take it. Then God will. If you don't know, you thinking it's this and it's this and it's this, you don't even know what he's talking about. He's talking about your soul seeking after God. It'll be so rich, you'll get everything else too, but the everything else is just a symptom of the fact that you got the real riches. The real riches are not riches. The real victory is not victory. What you really need is to seek God and find he's the only thing I need. I'll tell you, when people go through trouble and they get out someday, they look back and they say, you know, I hated it while I was going through, but that was the best time. I got so close to God during that time. I needed that. And you don't want to go back, but you realize, you know, once things start going well, you fall back into whatever, and you don't have that full life anymore. And you almost wish you could go back to the trouble, because it's almost like, you know, at that time I really sought you and you were there. I hated it at the time because nothing looked good. But I look back and I realize that trouble was good for me. This is why a lot of people want to get out and, you know, rapture away and escape and so on. I just want you to know the best has been saved to the last. Don't think God's going to come back with a whimper and things are going to be so bad that he'll finally come back to rescue you. No! It's actually because you're in victory and the Lord's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Isn't that coming back for a, God, I'm glad you got here. It's really been rotten. I tried to get up on the rapture elevator and they were full. And I was left back here to suffer with the Jews. I hated it. You know. No, you missed it. You missed it. Look, I'll tell you, your God is a good God. No matter how bad you can imagine, all the bad in the world, it can never be bad when you got a God. All things work together for the good. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and we'll quit. These scriptures should encourage you. You can write them down. First one is Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. If God be for me, this is the 31st verse, who can be against me? For we are more than conquerors. That's the truth. That's the truth. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon fashioned against me shall prevail, and every, you know, tongue that rises up to condemn me, I will, you know, so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always leads me in triumph. Always leads me. Notice the word always. He always leads me in triumph. You just don't see it, but it's there. You have it right now. You just don't know it. Luke 12:32, fear not, little children. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Not some of the time, not when it looks good. Always. 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding him, not beholding me, not beholding the enemy. Beholding him, not beholding myself, not beholding the enemy. What? I will go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Do you realize right now you're in glory? Look at that rock. That rock can only bless you. There's no other rock that can bless you. That's your refuge. Get underneath that rock. Get in that rock. That's the cleft in the rock. You know, you're in there. You're in there. Not through number one, but through number two. That's how you got into that rock. That's how you're changed. You want your soul to change? Behold Jesus. Don't behold yourself or your enemy. Circumstances, passions. Don't look at that. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, not yourself, not your circumstances. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12 says, the Father that loves you chastens you. And he always chastens you in hope. In other words, you'll definitely get a three. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Do you realize that what God wants you to do is always hope that no matter how bad the judgments are against me, no matter how strong the love is for me, the power of God will always rescue me, deliver me, and set my feet upon a rock. There's no way that just his mercy is all I need. I need more than his mercy. I need his judgments. I need his mercy. But I also need his power to strengthen me. The Holy Spirit's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not in me to make me do it. He's in me so that I willingly want to do the will of God. And I'm able to do it and see the glory of God in the land of the living. I know in heaven everything's going to work out good. What I need to know is in this world with all of its trouble, how can I be of good cheer all the time? How can I know for sure that my hope will never be disappointed? Now I want to have a couple of testimonies in this closing. Did anybody get a hold of this? Did you get a hold of this? Harold? Harold? Amen. It's powerful. I want the men to come down right now. We're going to pray for anyone who needs prayer while we're hearing some testimonies. Who else? Who else? John?
I think in conjunction to what you're saying, Jim, it's liberating to know that even if we had what we think we want, it's not going to fulfill us. If I could draw a map, I'll take the money, I'll take this, I'll take that, I'll take the health. That's not going to get you anywhere anyway.
Yep. So. You already have it. You have everything. You just don't know it. You already have everything. Just get with God. Seek first Him. Get everything else. Then you'll see everything else. Who else had a... Yes. Right behind you, and then Jeff.
Well, came to Christianity, I used to be in a different relationship, and I also used to ask God why my relationship never worked, why everything is wrong, why I can't find a good man. And I used to say, I'm a good person. Why can't I get along with this one? Why he is like that? Why this happened to me? And I go, God, why? Why? I just can't understand why. And but I was living my own business, doing everything on my way, and trying to be a nice person, and thinking that when I say yes to whatever they say, thinking that people think that I'm nice, and I like that, you know? People think that that man don't deserve me because I'm good and he's not. But all this trouble that I get into is because God was chasing me to get close to him because I wasn't doing his ways. And not too long ago when I went to a show with my husband, God showed me that he's been with me all this time since I born. He showed me that I had these great moments too many times, but when the things go on, I just want to turn my back and look in another situation that makes it happen. And he wants in that way that he wants that the things get fixed. I have to go look for him, and then he resolves for me. So from there to now, I know that he's been with me all the time, even when I was going wrong things.
Wow. It's powerful. Jeff.
God spoke to me yesterday three times. I really didn't understand it until today. When I was coming back from that rent house, this is where I was talking earlier. I was excited because I had a problem. God was with me and he helped me. Whatever. But God spoke to me and said, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And so it's kind of like, subconsciously. Yeah, it wasn't really like I was like, God just spoke that. But then he said it again, and he said it again. And so I was looking at him, and Luke, his pastor, was talking. I'm going to read this real quick. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I behold Satan, like falling from heaven. So this is Jesus talking. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And it just became clear today as the pastor was talking. You know, I understand what God was saying yesterday was, don't get excited about that, or don't get depressed if it doesn't work. Either way. And, you know, God is your name for the book of life. And that's everything. This relationship is being able to come home and talk.
Amen. We're going to have one more over here. Dean. Dean of them.
But I didn't want some people to know there's gym number two in Arkansas.
Yahoo!
But the same thing, Stephen Baker has to get a lot of time in his teachings. Rejoice always. Never get discouraged.
Wow. Amen. That's powerful. That's powerful. He used to sit right here on the second row. Yeah. I used to spit on him every week. That was the anointing. All right. Somebody else. Yes. Right here.
Immediately, I was totally at ease with the decision. Nothing ever influenced anything from my office. Was never depressed about it. I simply turned it all over to God and said, this is your decision from here on out. 6 months passed. I went to the doctor and I said, well, I'm sorry, but I didn't go yesterday. He said, where? He said, I was going to die. That shows what we know. And so I waited another 3 months and still nothing else. I decided, you know what? God's taking such good care of this. I'm going to let you know. I don't recommend this for everybody. This is just my decision. God's taking such good care of this. I'm going to let him take care of it and get rid of the rest of these symptoms. And still see the surgeon. But I never felt better. Last month I went whitewater rafting in Colorado. I just think God did an excellent job and I haven't had any trouble.
Good. That's worth the whole message right there. God is good. You're a blessing. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day, like the deer, panting for the water brooks. At the end of the day, tired, thirsty. So our souls long, reach out. Desire, with a strong desire to know you, to experience you, not in the world to come, but now. Thirsting every day to walk with you, to talk with you, to pour out everything that's in our soul so that you can either judge it or forgive it or empower it. Lord God, restore us. Not to where we were. Not to what looks good in this world, but restore us to your original purpose, your original plan for us, so that we might inherit the kingdom now. We know the future is taken care of. We know that you have promised us great things in the future, and we know that our hope will not disappoint us. We know that our faith is able to experience many good things that our hope has promised us. But we know that our full hope is yet held, and it will not be, we won't let go of it. And it keeps us today, now, that we have not been destined for death, poverty, sickness, unhappiness, misery. But we have been destined in this world, in our families, in our churches, in our nation, in this world, to live a full and abundant life. Not to be cheated, not to get just a little bit of it. Help us then not to be discouraged when we don't see that, when there's no fruit in the bin and there's no calf in the stall. And when we don't have evidence that everything looks right, help us not to doubt that it's working out and we can trust you, that our hope will never disappoint us and we can be happy every day that everything is going our way. And all things are working out. Therefore, we don't need to postpone our joy, our praise. But it's not wrong to praise you now, even before we see it. It's wrong to doubt you. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have permission today to rejoice continually. Continually. Let your praise be continually in our mouth. Give us good sleep at night. Sing those songs over us. That when we go to bed, we don't hear anything against us. But we hear, if God be for us, who is there to condemn us? Who is there to discourage us? Who is there to worry us? Who is there to say that our sins will end up with troubles for us, or the devil's fury will keep us? No. Your love will bring us through. Your love will bring us through. And all the way through will be just as good as the end. The way is just as good as the end. And I thank you, Lord God, you've given us this hope today, never to be discouraged, as our soul pants after thee. We will not be disappointed. Amen and amen.